Continuing on with the Summer of Faith, we've already got the first scripture up there. And if you haven't been with us, we've been talking about faith this summer. And we're going through different characters in the Bible. Today we're going to learn a few lessons from Moses. And so let's talk about the setting. If you're not real familiar with the setting of Moses' birth, let's talk about that setting for a minute. The Hebrews are living in Egypt, and there's a lot of them, you know, like 2 million. And so the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, he looks at all these Hebrews, and he's a little bit intimidated. Because what if they all decided to throw their support to a foreign army coming against Egypt? What if they go with the foreign army, then Egypt's in trouble. And so so Pharaoh's a little scared, a little intimidated of the Hebrews, even though they're slaves and they're providing, you know, a workforce. He's still scared about their numbers, okay? And because he's scared about their numbers, he decided that it'd be a smart idea to do this. Pharaoh gave this order. Every Hebrew boy that is born must be thrown into the Nile, but every girl can live. So he's going to try to limit the fighting men in the Hebrew nation because he's afraid of them. And so this law he puts into effect. That's the setting of Moses' birth. Go to the next slide. So, what happens next? A man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. That's Moses' parents. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. In other words, she didn't throw him into the Nile. Okay? I always thought that was kind of interesting. When she saw he was a fine child. So if he wasn't fine, what would have happened, you know? It's like, hey, look, he's such a good-looking kid, we ought to keep him, you know? So he was like, what exactly does that look like? When you look at a kid and you see that there's something different about them, I don't know exactly what that is. So I got a couple of possibles, you know, go to the next slide there. Maybe he was just so cute, you know? He's just so cute, I couldn't possibly throw him in the Nile, you know? Or maybe, go to the next one. You know, maybe he came out of the womb and he just was saying words. He's like some intellect, you know. He just came out and was like, hey, Mom. It's like, wow, this is a fine kid, you know. Or maybe he went viral, you know. It's like, Linda. You know, and if you know this video, if you don't know this video, you should look it up. You know, but, you know, maybe he had a little following on YouTube and he went viral. And they're like, man, he's just a fine kid. And we're just going to have to not throw him in the Nile. But somehow, some way, they got the idea, and of course, you know, parents aren't going to throw their kid in the river if they don't have to. So they hid him for 3 months. Go to the next slide. It says, by faith, Moses' parents hid Moses for 3 months after he was born because they saw he wasn't just fine, he was not ordinary. And they were not afraid of the king's edict. So the first thing I want to walk away with as we learn about faith, we can learn from Moses, is by faith they overcame fear. Yeah. Faith and fear are so often in opposite corners. They battle one another. And in this scenario, it hit me, you know, when I think about the list of all the faithful people in Hebrews 11, I didn't really think about Moses' parents are in that story. I knew Moses was, but his parents are there. Kind of nondescript little mention, they show up. And why did they show up? They showed up because their faith was bigger than the fear that they felt about this king's law. They put their lives on the line. Moses' life was already on the line. They put their lives on the line too because they defied the king. So they ended up in the Hall of Fame of Faith because their faith conquered their fear. If any of us will have, and we have, if you're here, this has happened for you. There's been a day where your faith has conquered your fear. That qualifies us to be in the running, to be in the Hebrews 11 Hall of Faith. That's pretty cool. But we got to work on our faith. Our faith has to defeat the fears that we have in our life because we're going to have We've had and we're going to have a bunch of fears that will come our way. And what we do with those is important. And God gave us this thing called faith to overcome those fears. And Moses' parents had that. Can you imagine, number one, hiding an infant for 3 months? There's one, right? I mean, she's not crying, but can you hiding an infant for 3 months, that's no small task. They cry. They don't. Moses, I don't think, even though he was not an ordinary child, I still think he cried. That means he's given himself away. That means there's a house with a baby in it. It wouldn't be above, I wouldn't think, one of Pharaoh's soldiers to say, is that a boy or a girl in there? After all, only girls should be crying because the boys should all be gone. So it wouldn't be above them to do a little house check when they hear a baby in a house. Somehow they hid him, even though he was a baby and he cried and whatever. But they hid him for 3 months. And then she took Moses and she put him in a basket and she put him in a river. I think that takes a little bit of faith. It's one thing, I'm not going to kill my son and throw him in the river willingly. It's another after 3 months to put that baby in a basket, in the water, and then step away. Yeah. Now I'm not a mom, obviously. I know moms connect with their babies even before they're born. But then after having them born and have them for 3 months, can you imagine the connection? Some of you know exactly the connection. And then to take that living being and set them and walk back and say, I'm just seeing what's going to happen. There's a lot of faith there. There's a lot of faith right there. She didn't know what's going to happen to Moses. She just trusted God. She trusted God. And what happened was just mind-blowing, right? The rest of the story, you know, the Pharaoh's daughter comes to the water and there's Moses and she said, hey, there's a baby over there. Go check the baby out. And the aunt finds the baby and brings it over. Moses' aunt brings the baby over to the daughter of Pharaoh and says, hey, here's a Hebrew baby. Do you want me to get someone to nurse this baby for you? And goes and gets the mom. Wow. I mean, God is so huge. Who could have seen that happening? By faith, she overcame fear. But not just her, Moses did it too. Go to the next slide. By faith, Moses left Egypt not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith, Moses had to deal with some of his fears. What were his fears? His fear was, what's the king going to do if we leave? I know the king doesn't want us to leave. The king's afraid of us, but he wants us to stay in town because we're doing a lot of work for him. So if I leave, God's telling me to take him and go. He's not going to be very happy. What's he going to do to me? What's he going to do to us if we go on a road trip with all of his slave help? That's probably not going to go well. He's been pretty stubborn up to this point. But by faith, Moses led God's people out. And he didn't give in to the fear of so there he is, leading them out. Didn't give in to the fear of what the king might do. What did Moses get to see? How did he get that faith? Where does that come from? You know, he got to see a lot of things. We'll talk about that in a minute. But one of the things, go to the next slide, it says, he overcame fear because he saw him who is invisible. And I've been thinking about just that part of that verse this week a lot. And I've tried to be in tune with, when do I feel battle in my faith? What fears come in? And then what am I looking at? Am I looking at God who is invisible? Or am I looking at the here and now that's tangible? And usually, when I'm challenged in my faith, I'm looking at the circumstances of the here and now. I'm looking at my weaknesses. I'm looking at the weaknesses of people around me. I'm looking at this happened or that happened. A phone call comes in. I got a phone call Saturday, I got a text, and I read the text, and I immediately had a reaction that was, I felt a little discouraged about the text I got. And I was trying to think, I hate this. I was having a great day. You know, I was happy. I got this text. I'm like, dang, I'm discouraged. And I'm like, what in the world? Well, this little bitty sentence that came in, this silly little electronic thing, and I'm discouraged. And I thought, okay, stop it. Okay, what, look at him who is invisible. Where's God in this? And when I started thinking on that track, when I started thinking about him who is invisible, when I started thinking about where's God in this picture, I wasn't discouraged anymore. So it's a matter of, you know, where are we looking? Is it our faith or is it our fear? What's winning has a lot to do with how we are as people and how we relate to the world around us. Go to the next slide there. No, God's everywhere. Moses saw the invisible God. Where did he see him? Maybe he saw him in the skies. You know, maybe he saw him in the storms. Maybe he saw him, you know, in the stars at night without the light pollution. You know, maybe he went outside and he looked up and he's like, my goodness, God, he's huge. You know, I know the Pharaohs, he's a big dude and all, but God, whoo. You know, maybe it was in the wind. Maybe it was during the plagues. Can you imagine if you had a front seat at the plagues when God is bringing frogs and they're hopping all over the palace and you're sitting there thinking, this is pretty awesome. God just made frogs appear in Pharaoh's bed. I love that. That's so fun. I wish I had a picture. I'd take a picture of that deal. You know, but all the different plagues. And then the plagues were differentiated where God said, I'm going to make this happen to the to Pharaoh in Egypt, but on my people, they're not going to have that happen to them. Then that's a whole nother level of a plague where it's everywhere, but this one is, it's only here and not over here. And you can see the differentiation. You can see the hand of God saying, it's going to, this calamity is here and not there. And you're like, oh my goodness, what is it that God can't do? He saw the invisible God. And it built his faith. And it helped him overcome his fear. Do you see the invisible God in your day? Where do you see him? How do you see him? You know, I don't know where you see God, but he's available to be seen. To be understood, to be captured. I was sitting on the front porch with Haley yesterday when the storm was rolling in. And she doesn't understand why I like to look at storms, but that's okay. I was like, Haley, it's storming. Let's go outside. She's probably thinking, what's the matter with you, Grandpa? So we go sit on the front porch, and we're sitting on the front porch, and I'm like, look at those clouds. Aren't those cool clouds? Oh, listen to that wind. And I love doing that because that speaks to me of God. Whatever works for you, God is everywhere. We got to see him. We got to look for him. We got to see God more than we see the challenges that are in the here and now. Come on. Yeah. Because the challenges in the here and now are trying to steal away our faith. Yeah. Trying to make us afraid. But God's trying to bolster our faith so that we can overcome our fears. Go to the next slide there. You know, Satan, I was thinking about this. Satan's trying to get us to be afraid. Satan says, be afraid to share the good news because somebody might judge you. Be afraid to set boundaries on your job and put God first because maybe you won't get a promotion that you were hoping for. Be afraid to forgive someone in your life because maybe they're just going to hurt you again. Be afraid to study the Bible. If you're here today and it would help you to study the Bible, don't be afraid. Satan wants you to be afraid because maybe you don't know everything. Well, guess what? None of us knows everything. So don't be afraid of that because that's where everybody's at. Be afraid to repent and be baptized. Be afraid to change your life. Why? Because you're not perfect. And you might have a few bad days. Be afraid to dream big dreams for God. Why? Because you might fail. These are the things that Satan's constantly trying to dredge up in us. Fear this, fear that, don't act, don't whatever. Let your fears drive you over here in a corner to where you're not walking like you want to in Jesus. You know, we got this dream to raise $60,000 for a permanent home because we think it would be a blessing for God's mission. That's why we're doing it. We could have not stepped forward and gone for this thing because we were afraid. We could have taken that approach. Because what if we don't do it? What if we don't raise the money? But what if we do?
Yep.
See, Satan wants us to be afraid and not to act because of our fear. But go to the next slide. What does God say? God says, by faith, share the good news, because there are people that are looking for Him in Bloomington Normal right now. Yeah. By faith, share the good news and don't give in to fear. By faith, put God first in your job and don't give in to fear and let God take care of you. Mm-hmm. By faith, forgive somebody you need to forgive. Not knowing what's going to happen next, but knowing that God will take care of you.
Yep.
By faith, study the Bible. Grow in who He is. And don't worry about what you don't know. Let God teach you. By faith, repent and be baptized. And get out of the darkness and get into the light and rely on God to direct your steps. By faith, dream big dreams. Uh-huh. Because God's a big God.
Yep.
And on the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided. God will bring success. Dare to do greatly by faith and not by fear. I hope that we can grasp and process whatever you would put on this list for your personal challenges today. Maybe I didn't get it there, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
Put yours there. What's the fear that Satan wants to try to push you in a corner on, and what's God's faith? What's God saying? By faith, break out of that corner. By faith, kill that fear. By faith, step up and let me help you dare greatly.
Come on.
Moses did it. Moses' parents did it. And you and I can do it. And when we let faith overcome our fear, that is a great place to be. That is a great place to live and breathe right there when we're at that space. Secondly, by faith, let's choose God over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the world has some things to offer. And so does God. And by faith, let's choose God over the world. Moses chose God over the world. Here in Hebrews 11, by faith, Moses... He grew up in Pharaoh's household. You know, Pharaoh's daughter found him at the Nile. She raised him in the palace as one of her own. So he grew up in the palace like a prince. Okay, so he knew what it was like to live in privilege because he lived in the king's palace. He grew up there. But he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with God's people rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. Why? Because he was looking ahead to his reward. He made a choice. He said, you know what? I see two things in front of me. I've grown up in the king's palace. I know what this looks like. I know what this life looks like. I've seen what fame does. I've seen what wealth does. I've seen what power does. I've lived in the house of power and wealth and fame. And I've seen God's people. And I've seen how they live. I've seen what God's called them to. And if I have to choose between the two, I'm leaving the palace. This stuff over here that I've seen, that I've grew up with, this doesn't fill you up. This doesn't go anywhere good. He saw it and he chose instead to be part of God's people, even if it meant in this life less privilege, less wealth. That's a better choice. And Moses saw it and that's what he made. Show the next slide. God in the world. Age-old challenge for man. Age-old challenge for us. If you're a Christian today, there was a day where you had to choose and I had to choose. Okay, I see there's two choices. I see there's two worlds. I can't have them both. I have to choose to be a citizen either on the left with God or I'm going to be a citizen in the world on the right. I can't have it both ways. There's not dual citizenship. I get one or the other. And if you're a Christian today, you saw those two and you chose God. And good for you, because that's the right choice. That's the best choice. Some of you today, maybe you're still on the fence. You don't know where you're going to land. Or maybe you know you're in the world and you have to choose God still. I'm telling you, Moses understood it, and those of us in God's family have understood it. Be in God's house.
Yeah.
That's the place to be. It is way better than the world. The world has something to offer. Moses noted that there was pleasures in sin. He said the fleeting pleasures of sin. Nobody sins unless you get something from it. There is some pleasure in sin. If somebody makes you mad and you tell them off, you get a little bit of pleasure from that. You also get a lot of guilt, and you get a broken relationship. See, sin may have some pleasure with it, but it always has a price as well. But over in God's house, we do what's right. There's no guilt, and there's no downside to doing what's right. It's a whole different set of things going on over there. Go to the next slide. It says he was looking ahead to his reward. Moses made the choice of God over the world because he was looking ahead. He had somehow envisioned what it might be like to be in God's house. Where did he get that? How did he get a vision? How did he get a glimpse of what it might be like to live with God? I think he got a glimpse from all the things that happened. He got a glimpse from the way he grew up when he saw the world at its best and worst. And when he saw God and God's principles, when he saw the plagues, when he saw the Exodus, he got a glimpse of God. And when he got that glimpse of God, he said, man, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to living in God's house. I've lived in a palace of a king of this world, and I don't care about it at all. I want to live in the palace of the king of all the world. He was looking forward to it. He got a glimpse of it. What kind of glimpse do you have? The couplers were talking about heaven. Mm-hmm. Anna was talking about heaven. What glimpse do you have of heaven? What does that do for you? Does it do anything for you? You know, how do you picture it? How often do we think about it? And when I think about heaven, I think about the absence of sin. I think about how amazing is it going to be to live in a place where no sin is allowed. I am fired up about that idea. I am fired up to live in God's house where there's a little protective force, and any sin that tries to get zapped like a bug zapper. It's like you just sit inside God's house and just keep hearing bzz, 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 bzz. It's like all that sin just dying at the boundary. They can't get in, and I'm in here like, this is awesome! The absence of sin is... I can't even conceive of how great it'll be. All the heartache I've ever felt is because of sin. And it won't be there. Sign me up. You know, we were talking before, Matt and I were in the back, and we were going through the slides of the songs and the song, the Holy, 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 that we sang earlier. And I was thinking, I was kind of in the imagining mode, because in the minute we're going to sing, I can only imagine. And I was trying to imagine... It hit me all of a sudden. I was like, hey, wait a minute. In heaven with all the angels, and how many are there going to be? Thousands upon thousands? And they're singing, holy, holy, holy. And then are they going to sing in English? Like, they probably won't. It's like, so then are we all going to get like a universal translator so that, you know, whatever the language is, we can all hear it in our own language? Or do we all suddenly, when we get our new body, we get a new brain and we understand a new language? And I'm kind of intrigued by it.
Yeah.
I can't quite imagine exactly what it'll be, but I know I'll be able to understand God and he'll understand me, and it won't be English, I'm pretty sure. But it'll be all right. Yeah. Go to the last slide there.
Yeah.
By faith, let's choose God over the world. That is a faith decision we will never regret. And we will be so, so, so blessed if we will keep in mind, if we will imagine being with God. And so we're going to stand and sing I Can Only Imagine to close out the service. If you know it, sing along. If you don't know it, listen to the words. Great song. Most of us know it. So let's stand and close out with I Can Only Imagine.